You tell them I'm coming, and hell's coming with me, you hear? Hell's coming with me!
Welcome to the Shooting Bench. For the next hour, I'll be bringing you commentary and important updates on current events, as well as information on guns, training, preparedness, and other liberty-related issues. Let's get started. RAT, right now.
Here we are. Welcome to the Shooting Bench. It is the 28th of March, and it's a Monday, and we've had a long week here ahead of us. We've been kind of busy. We'll get into that a little bit later. I want to thank everybody for showing up here tonight. Yeah, I've got a little bit of a, I don't know if I'd call it a cold. I don't feel bad. I feel fine. For some reason, my nose is all stopped up. So anyway, maybe it's a head cold. Maybe that's what you call it. Anyway. We'll get through it. I may have to play a song or two to cough and choke and spit here a little bit, but everything seems to be going all right now. Over the last week, I have been up at Finnecombe's helping with helping to gather cows and get them branded and off to market, and it's been a lot of fun. And matter of fact, I've got pictures. I don't know if I can. I should have thought about this earlier. But I've got pictures of me riding that same horse that's on the picture of Lavoie's book. I mean, the picture on the cover of the boy's book. And I took that horse up there and up in the mountains and went and gathered, what'd we get? First time we got 35 head. Out of that 35 head, we cut out all the marketable younger ones, turned the mamas and little babies back loose. And we had another crew over on the other side getting some more. So far we've taken, taken about 20 head so far to market and to the sale barn. And we've got one more trip to make, and we'll be caught up for the year. This is something that goes on. It just goes on once a year to this extent. We do go out one other time a year and do some branding and vaccinating and whatnot. So we had a little gal that you saw that one video on YouTube. I hope all of you have watched it. I think I played it one night on the show here. But that little gal is, she's just turned 18, I think. She may still be 17. But she is the ranch manager now in Lavoie's absence. Pretty sharp. She does a good job. And we had one of the Bundy kids over there helping us this last Friday or Saturday, whenever it was, Friday. And what a good hand he is. Boy, he was really good. Definitely not his first rodeo. We're going to get a video up here in the next day or two of some of the things that we did up there. And most of the calves were relatively small. We had two or three of them that were probably not even 100 pounds. And then we had about, three or four of them that were 200, 250. Pretty good sized calves, but not unmanageable. Hey, C7, glad you made it in. And the last, we saved the best for last. And we had a... the last one we had in there probably weighed probably 350 or 400. And he was exciting. And actually it wasn't too bad. It could have been a whole lot worse. Actually got a rope on him, got it around the snubbing post out in the middle of the round pen there, and got him pulled down, and it wasn't too bad of a deal. But went through the whole 9 yards. We went and gathered them, and excuse me, I keep clicking my mic off here so I can cough. But I went and gathered them and brought them in. The farthest we had to herd them was about, I think it was about 4 miles from where we first started gathering up to the corral. And we got them all taken care of, branded, castrated, vaccinated. Didn't have to dehorn any of them, but turned out to be a good deal. And Rights at Risk, I tried to get a hold of you Saturday morning, and I should have called earlier. It's my fault, but we were up at Ephraim, up at a little bookstore. Hey, Mama Grizzly made it in. Good to see you. Ephraim, I don't remember how far that is from you, but Jeanette had a book signing up there at a brand new little bookstore. Nice bookstore. Really nice, fancy, but it was nice. It was an older building, quite old building, as a matter of fact. Very antique-ish looking inside. It was a great, great place. Lots of good books. And we were there for about 3 hours, signing books, and I was just up there kind of watching, see how things went. And on the way up there, from Arizona. Went over some mountains there, and it was 25 degrees and snowing most of the way over there, or at least over the mountain. And got over and right into Ephraim. It was quite a bit, but it was still a little cool. But it wasn't too bad. Yeah, right's a risk. I tried to get a hold of you and see if you could make it over there and visit with us a little bit, and never answered the phone. He must have been busy. But anyway, maybe next time. We'll be over in Cedar City sometime next week. But all right. Well, let's see here. Let me go back and get it. Boy, have I got a lot of stuff saved up here. My goodness. Over the last however long it's been here, let me get my screen squared away here. Make sure everything's working right. Make sure we're... There we go. All right, where do we start? Let me refresh this, because I know there's some more new ones on there. I don't know why I don't do this while I'm sitting here and Amy's talking. But, Wyoming just became the ninth constitutional carry state in the country. They signed the deal here just 2 or 3 days ago. And what did I say? Wyoming? I meant Idaho. I don't remember what I said, but I meant Idaho. So we have, I can't remember them. There are getting to be enough of them now. I can't remember them all off the top of my head. Let's see. We got Arizona, Alaska, Idaho, the newest one, Wyoming, Arkansas, help me out. I'm trying to think. That's six. I need three more. Arizona. I think I got Arizona. I believe Kansas and or Oklahoma. And no. Amy said California. I said I think not. And then we have one. I think it's Maine or Maryland, I believe, has constitutional carry. I don't remember. Anyway, quite a few of them. And y'all know what I think about constitutional carry, at least about the name of it anyway. I'm okay with it. I'm great with it, as a matter of fact. But, you know, there was something I wanted to play for you guys. I've been saving this up here until I could get on today. So we're going to...
Well, without further...
We're going to hear this real quick.
Brian Lewis,
be back here in
the
about,
world
about
premiere.
3 minutes.
No pressure. No pressure of I Think My Dog.
All right, don't get stuck now.
No pressure. No pressure of I Think My Dog's a Democrat.
Here we go. Well, I think my dog's a Democrat. And it breaks my heart to have to say an ugly thing like that. But there's a big old pile of evidence that all points towards the fact that my dog might be a Democrat. I pay for all his health care and I buy everything he eats. I provide him with a place to live just to keep him off the streets. But he just acts like he's entitled, even tried to unionize the cat. Yeah, I think my dog's a Democrat. He chewed up the Constitution that I keep on display. And every time Benghazi's on TV, he looks the other way. I know he's a liberal, even if he won't admit it. He pooped on my living room rug. and tried to tell me George Bush did it. He ain't got no papers, and what really gets my goat is if he could find a ride to town, well, I know they'd let him vote. I'm sure we've had some good times. He's been fun to have around. But if he ever barks about my right to bear arms, I'm gonna have to have him put down. I pay for all his health care, and I buy everything he eats. I provide him with a place to live just to keep him off the streets. You'd have to be a socialist to ever act like that. So my dog must be a Democrat. All his behavior has been hinting that his mom might be Mrs. Clinton. I think my dog's a Democrat. I'm Brian Lewis, and I approve this message.
That is, Brian, I got to tell you, that is... I think even the Democrats have to laugh. I think Bernie Sanders would laugh at that because you just nail it. You just right on top of it.
All right, there you go. I thought that was kind of cute.
Without further ado.
Hey, stop. I didn't ask you to keep doing that. All right. For those of you in southern Arizona, or anywhere in Arizona, as a matter of fact, we have a... Maybe I had better not mention that right now. There's Mama Grizzly, you're still on there, and nobody knows who you are. So is it suitable to invite others to this thing on next week or whenever it is that I may be speaking at here? So I'll wait for an answer from Mama Grizzly before I mention that. So. All right, a link to the song. Let me go get that here. Yeah, that's a pretty cute little deal. All right, here you go. Here's a link to it. There you go. All right, let's move on here. We've got bigger and better things to do. One of the bigger deals here that is probably the most pressing of all. You know, we had the attack in Brussels, Belgium, here 3 days ago, or whatever it was, Friday, maybe. And, I think it was December of last year, just, 3 months ago. I showed a bunch of those people in Brussels holding up signs for, welcoming the refugee. They're not refugees. They're in danger, and they're blah, 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 and they're welcoming the refugees. Well, look what it got them. Over 30 people dead, and seems like there's 200 or 300 wounded. So welcome the refugees to Belgium. And we had another one in Pakistan here Sunday, I guess, yesterday, I think it was. Had over 70 killed there. So, anyway. All right, goodness. All right, so the more pressing thing other than that right now is what the feds are claiming is going to cost to clean up the refuge. Now, these people have to be certifiably insane. There's something very wrong. Either that, or they're just completely full-on total retard. They're saying it's going to cost over $6.5 million. $6.5 million to clean this refuge up. And I said, hell, I'll go clean it up for $1 million right now. You know, really, it wouldn't take half a dozen guys a couple of days, do you? You could probably do it for $10,000. But one of the things they're adding to this is some updates to the building and stuff. What they're wanting to do is build a whole new thing in there. Now, they showed pictures. Some of you may have seen it on Facebook. They showed pictures around of different areas of the refuge where there's stuff piled up, junk, trash, and none of that was that way before. And all these pictures were taken after the investigation, if that tells you anything. We know beyond a shadow of a doubt. Plus, we have pictures. We have pictures. We have video of what that looked like as everybody was leaving. And nothing, it wasn't anything like that. They showed the one barn area there. And there was a clean concrete floor, you know, a little bit of straw, and about five little horse turds laying in the middle of it. When we got there, the occupiers got there, that building, and we have video of them cleaning it. Lavoie was there, and the guy that rode the horse with the flag was there. As a matter of fact, he's the one that did most of the cleaning. It was a foot deep in grass and horse manure. Not grass, hay and straw, horse manure. A foot deep. A foot. They cleaned it all out down to clean bare concrete. And that guy and his horse slept in that area. And they're showing a picture of this bare concrete with five horse turds on it. Like this is a big deal. Look what those patriots did. They left five horse turds in our barn. That's where horse turds go, as a matter of fact. It's where they're supposed to be. But they cleaned a foot of stuff out of there. And I tell you, Lavoie and Ammon absolutely would not have allowed that place to get in the shape that the feds are showing you that it's in right now. They're trying to get the public opinion to sway over to their side, and I think they're not having a hell of a lot of luck at it. I don't think the public's buying it at all. As well they shouldn't. It was it's absolutely wrong. It is fraudulent. It is an absolute lie. And I think everybody's seeing right through it. We had so many videos for 2 months in so many different areas of the compound, the refuge there. We saw the progress that they were making. We saw the shape that things were in. Now there's one hole in a sheetrock wall right by a light switch that we're not sure of. It may or may not have happened. I would if I was a betting man, I'd say it did happen during the occupation. So what? To fix that hole, from the looks of the hole, it looks to be like, I don't know, 18 inches wide and maybe 10 or 12 inches tall, right at the light switch. If you replaced the whole sheet of plywood and taped and textured and painted it and everything else, it's going to cost you probably, depending on whether you got a professional to do it or just find any old buddy that can nail up sheetrock and tape and texture. It doesn't take a genius to do that. Actually, all it takes is to fix the one hole. get a a 2 foot square piece of drywall, sheetrock, and cut your hole and set that in there and tack it in place and tape and texture it and paint it, you're probably looking at on the outside, looking at a little on the high side, being a little overly generous, you might be looking at $250. If we had a patriot that knew how to do that and could do it and make it look decent, we could probably do it for $50. That's the kind of stuff your $6.5 million is fixing. So, and they talked about feces being scattered all over the place, and that's not true. They dug a latrine, a hole out there, and even I have to say, even if it were true, even if they did, if there's a few piles scattered around out there somewhere, even if that were true, and you hire one laborer, two laborers, to go along there with a wheelbarrow and a shovel and pick that up and bring it back and put it in that hole they dug and burn everything, what's that going to cost you for 1 day, or probably more like a half a day? What's that going to cost you? Another $200. So we're up to about $450 right now. If we hired a crew of local people to come in there with pickups and trailers, haul everything off that's laying around there, which is not, we know, we saw the pictures of what it looked like when they left. It did not look like that. And so even if we did, and we spent a week doing it, and had half a dozen guys doing it, and paid them, you know, I'm sure there's a bunch of people around there that would be tickled to death to make $500 or $600 a week cleaning that up. So, $500 or $600 a week times half a dozen guys, we're looking at $3,000. You know, we'd be hard pressed, I think, to get $5,000 or $6,000 worth of work out of that. And they're saying it's going to cost them $6.5 million. I think what they're doing is they want to recover. You know, and there's also some talk that they're going to sue families and stuff for coming in. Opera, that's what I told them. I'm not going to do $3 million. Hell yeah. They're going to sue the families of these political prisoners to go in and recover the cost of what they feel that it's going to cost to fix this. Unbelievable. I cannot even believe that.
On the side, not afraid to die. Hands held high, no gun inside. They shot him down on his way to town. A cowboy stand. Coyote sing.
heart. You know what freedom is. What freedom isn't. Stand. Because when you stand, others will stand with you. No matter how it ends, it matters how you stand.
Okay, are you ready? Here's Corp Reynolds with another maximum dose of truth and common sense on the Shooting Bench.
They say heaven's at the end, but so far it's been hell, and there's fire on the mountain, lightning in the air, rolling them hills, and it's waiting for me there.
All right, welcome back. I have to apologize for my stuffed up head here a little bit. I see a Gunslinger just joined us. Welcome, brother. Do what? Amy's cruising for a bruising here. So if you hear me get up and gone for a few minutes and you hear some screaming in the background, then that's what?
What'd you say?
I've had to get up and deal with something here a little
bit.
Don't make me come over there.
What was that?
I said, if I have to get up and I'm gone for a little while and you hear some screaming in the background.
It'll be you.
No. Yeah. In your dreams. Let's see. There's somebody else here. Oh, I saw who the, I don't know if she's still here or not. Let me look at the list here and see who's there. No, it looks like she left. Somebody was here earlier, Susanna, something other. I figured out who she was, so glad to see her in here. All right. Mama Grizzly said it was okay to tell you what's going on down in Tucson on 13 April. There is a constitutional discussion going on, something that they do on a monthly basis or ever so often down there. And what a great deal that is, that you've got somebody willing to take the time and I don't know the people that's doing it. I'm assuming from what I've heard, the good, knowledgeable people that are sharing this information. And, you know, probably one of the most useful things you could do at this point in history is to share information about the Constitution. Videos, books, little pamphlets, discussions. Get out there. I don't care how professional you may think you sound. Practice up a little bit. If you get the opportunity, go to some of these rallies and stuff and speak a little bit about the Constitution, about the protection of our God-given rights. So many people, so often, and we know what they mean. I'm just not sure that they know what they mean. So many people talk about the Constitution giving you rights. The Constitution gives you zilch, nothing, nada. It protects rights that you already have. And Mama Grizzly says he's been doing it for 10 years down it. So if you get the opportunity to do that, don't shirk that responsibility. It's not an invitation. It is a duty that you have, to do your best to educate people and bring people on board and let them know what's happening. I saw, parked in front of me at red light today, I saw a nice rig with a bumper sticker on the back window. It was a SUV type thing, Blazer, Explorer, whatever it was. Had a big brand new sign up there in the window that said Sanders 2016. I said, are you kidding me right now? Do you mean to tell me that there's somebody in Sholo, Arizona? It had New Mexico plates, so that helps explain it a little bit. It wasn't somebody from Arizona. Not that there's not brain dead liberals in Arizona, there are some. But this one coming from New Mexico was a little easier to understand. Unfortunately, New Mexico has more than its share of liberals, man. But how could you possibly drive around in a place like Sholo, Arizona, with a Sanders 2016 bumper sticker on your car and not expect somebody to drag you out of there and beat you within an inch of your life? It's not any longer, I've told you this before, and I mean it more every year that goes by. Matter of fact, I may pull that up and read it here sometime next week. I wrote a thing here, I don't know, 3 or 4 years ago about Democrats. And it's not a political disagreement anymore. It's not a agree to disagree type thing. These people are enemies of the people. It's not any longer, well, you know, better luck next year. You know, we didn't get what we wanted this year, but, you know, shake hands. No, I ain't shaking hands with them. I went out, when you guys remember the sign I put up in my store after Obama won the second time, won the election. And I'm going to tell you real quick, because we got some new people that hadn't heard this, maybe not know about it. But I got into the store that morning. What was it? November 9th, I believe. Got into the store and I opened the door and walked in. I walked about 4 feet inside the store. Sick to my stomach. Like I'd been kicked in my forked end. And I said, you know what? I don't want those people in my store. I don't want their money. I don't want them around my kids. I don't think they even ought to have a gun. I said, that's it. That's what I'll do. I'll make a sign, and I'm going to put this up there and tell everybody that if you voted for Obama, you need to turn around and leave because you've proven that you're not responsible enough to own a firearm. And I did, and I felt real good about myself. I'm going to put that up on the door. And I meant it. If they, of course, we can't, you know, we can't verify that. We can't ask everybody that come in there. But if they voluntarily told me, then I was gonna make them. I'm gonna sell them a damn thing. I'd make them get out of my store. Had several people call. Good night, Pumpkin Cap. Several people call. More than several. Several thousand. Most of them very, very good, very supportive. A few of them retards. But I put this up on the door, and I said, you know, that's not good enough. That's not going to do it. And I went and called my dude at the newspaper, and I said, Joe, here's what's going on, and this is what I need. So I took out an ad in the paper, pretty good size ad. It wasn't a full page like the YouTube says it was, but it was a pretty good size ad. I think it was a quarter page. And said the same thing. Did a real nice ad. It looked good. And I said, okay, that's better, but it's still not good enough. I said, the people that's going to come to my store probably didn't vote for him anyway, so they're going to get a big kick out of the sign, but it ain't going to do any good. So I said, I'll tell you what. I went and sat down at my desk, got on the phone, and I called NRA.com, I called Ammoland.com, and I called Gunwire.com, and I called, I don't know who the hell, I called every gun-related thing that I could possibly think of. And in about 36 hours, that sign was global. If you want to see something that went viral, let me tell you about a little sign put up on a gun shop store door in Pine Top, Arizona. You can do a search today for Pine Top, Arizona gun shop owner and still come up with, like, you know, 5 million hits or whatever it is. I don't know, it's a bunch. And so it caused a big fuss. But anyway, Hey, String Bean. Good to see you in there. But that's what we had to do. This was at the risk of, and not the first time that I risk it either. This was at the risk of losing a tremendous amount of business, possibly even shutting me down completely. Did I care? No. I didn't back off from it a bit, and I pushed it everywhere I went. I took those signs, and we did radio interviews and one television interview with Fox News and all this stuff, and I wasn't the least bit concerned about what it may have done to my business. Now, as it turned out, it was a tremendous benefit for the business. But that was an unintended consequence. It's not at all what I planned. It was not a marketing scheme or anything like that. I was serious about it. I told people on the radio, I don't care. I don't want you to come to my store. If you voted for it, do not come to my store. I don't even want to see you. I don't want my kids around you. But like I said, as it turned out, we got orders from everywhere. We got orders we never did get filled. We got thousands of orders from all over the country. And we shipped t-shirts and caps and bumper stickers and crap all over the country every day for, for a while. And every once in a while, we still get a email or something come in here or see something on Facebook or whatever. Hey, are you that guy? Yeah. I'm the guy. And we still get an order every once in a while for a t-shirt or something like that. Anyway. Let's see. C7, a question about the Anderson Lower. It says it doesn't need lube due to nanotechnology. Well, I don't know. If it were mine, I would say a minimal amount of lube. I tell you what, something like that, I would put maybe, if they still make Slick 50, I would put a little bit of Slick 50 on, a little bit, and call it good for quite a while. What was that stuff we used to do? Some of you may remember. C7 might remember. He's been here the longest, I think. Casper Mountain, I don't know if he's listening or not. He's not on the chat room. But, what was that stuff? There was a stuff that we tested. We put it in the engine of my truck, in the transmission, differentials, every gearbox on the thing, power steering, put it everywhere. And as far as I know, it's still working. We treated two guns with it, or one gun, no, two guns. No, it wasn't Lucas Oil. It wasn't Marvel Mystery Oil. It was a brand new product. And I've still got some of it. I got it in a box. I know right where it is out in the shop. I've still got a little bit of it. I'll have to look at it and see. But for something like this thing that C7 is talking about, you guys have to forgive me. I'm sucking on a cough drop here. This deal that C7's talking about there, that would be what I would use. It's probably not anything that any of you have heard of. I see a lot of suggestions going up there. Most of that is older stuff. And this was made particularly for, there's some made for engines and gearboxes and stuff. And then there's another, a whole nother faction, I guess, of this stuff that is made specifically for guns. And we got all these suggestions coming up, but it's not any of them. Slick 50 would be something that it would be similar to, String Bean. That's not what it is. Slick 50's been around a long, 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 long time. This stuff has only been around for about 5 years. See, exactly 5 years. And I think that, or we discovered it 5 years ago anyway. So, anyway, I'll find out what it is, and I'll talk about it tomorrow night. So, anyway, let's get back over here. We got sidetracked here, Shanghai'd. Let's see what else we need to talk about. Oh, this is a good one. The Supreme Court has come out now, and this is going to be interesting. I'm anxious to see the first cases that come out concerning this decision. But the Supreme Court says, as of 6 days ago, confirms that the Second Amendment applies to all bearable arms. I'm not sure what they mean by bearable. I think I got a pretty good idea. But said in a historic but extremely short unanimous opinion, the United States Supreme Court has confirmed that the Second Amendment applies to all instruments that constitute bearable arms. As this is an enormous class of nearly all weapons, the decision is properly applied to knives and clubs, nearly all firearms that have been sold in the United States. Nearly all types of firearms are more common than stun guns. NBCNews.com says, but in an unsigned opinion, the U.S. Supreme Court Monday vacated that ruling. It said that Massachusetts court improperly found that the Second Amendment protection applies only to weapons that were in common use at the time of the nation's founding. Referring to its landmark 2008 ruling on handguns in the home, the justices said the Second Amendment applies to all instruments that constitute bearable arms, even those not in existence at the time of the founding. So it's not just muzzle loaders and muskets. The unsigned opinion is very short. It is sparse, as noted by Justices Thomas and Alito. Alito writes, a much longer and more forceful opinion in concurrence. It could and should have gone much further. Nonetheless, it is an enormous win for the Second Amendment supporters, and it extends far beyond stun guns and Massachusetts. Because the opinion, in short, here is the unanimous opinion without Justice Alito's concurrence, which is at the link. Let me find a relevant part of this. I'm not going to read the whole thing. It's not very long, but I'm not going to read it anyway. See, the court offers three explanations to support its holding that the Second Amendment does not extend to stun guns. First, the court explained that stun guns are not protected because they were not in common use at the time of the Second Amendment enactment. This is inconsistent with Heller's clear statement that the Second Amendment extends to arms that were not in existence at the time of the founding. The court next asked whether stun guns are dangerous per se at common law and unusual. Important limitation of the right to keep and carry arms. So, during, the court concluded that stun guns are unusual because they are a thoroughly modern invention. By equating unusual with in common use at the time of the Second Amendment enactment, the court's second explanation is the same as the first. It is inconsistent with Heller for the same reason. Finally, the court used a contemporary lens and found nothing in the record to suggest that stun guns are readily adaptable to use in the military. But Heller rejected the proposition. Not only those weapons useful in warfare are protected. And there's some numbers of statutes and whatnot here. It's not the word I'm looking for, but you can figure it out. For these three reasons, the explanation the Massachusetts court offered for the upholding the law contradicts this court's precedent. Consequently, the petition for a writ of, wow, whatever that word is, and oh, I'm sorry about this, guys. Let's see, there's strong language in this opinion. If 200,000 stun guns in the U.S. are common, it is hard to believe that 5 million AR-15s and millions of other semi-automatic rifles are unusual. If stun guns are common and protected by the Second Amendment, then so are knives, clubs, and future weaponry. The case lays to rest the idea that courts can simply say anything other than handguns are uncommon or unusual, and are therefore exempt from Second Amendment protections. You know, one of the things we have to be careful of here is if they get another justice or two in there, this could, I mean, there's not room for two right now, but this could change at some point. Maybe, you know, a few years down the road, but it could change. All right. Now, I think I got sidetracked back there a while ago when we were talking about the thing in Tucson on the 13th of March, or April, 13th of April. One of the Bundy girls, or no, as you were, one of the Finicum girls is going to be down there speaking. And I will be down there, and I have been asked to speak. And there will be someone who these people have great hopes for being a constitutional sheriff is going to be down there. So we're going to try to plant seeds and get him headed in the right direction, you know, right there during this thing. So if you're in that part of the country, you don't mind driving for a couple hours or whatever, it's going to be down in or near Tucson. I'll have to get the exact address here for you. We got plenty of time to get that, so I'll get it to you probably tomorrow, if anybody wants to try to make that. All right, let's see. Let me check and see if there's a short one we can knock out here real quick before quitting time. That's not short. I can make a long one out of that one. Did you see all the protesters in right outside of Phoenix, out on the highway in front of people that wanted to go to a Trump rally? Quite a few people out there. There was a couple hundred probably, and they got out there in the way and stopped traffic. Now, you know, I keep wondering how this works. I'm driving 6,000 pounds of steel. My 6,000 pounds of steel is strong enough that I can easily, and have done it, tow a loaded semi enough to get the flat spot on the flywheel out of the way so he could start it. And these people think they're going to stop me from driving down the road? Excuse me? Do you just get up and eat a big bowl of stupid this morning? Well, one of these Jeeps, or one of these guys in the Jeep, he just nice and slow, very politely, eased right on through them. And this one gal says, "That's attempted murder. That's attempted murder. Stop that car. Get a license plate." Oh, please shut up. And this cop just kind of shrugged his shoulders and said, "Yep, I don't know. What can we do about it?" And they didn't do anything. They just let the guy. Nobody got hurt. Nobody got run over. They just pushed him aside. But I've never understood exactly how that worked. How do you chain yourself to a bulldozer and keep that bulldozer from knocking trees down? I tell you, you're gonna have a bad day if you chain yourself to my bulldozer. We're gonna have a problem. Anyway, all right. Well, I'm gonna get out of here. I've got. For those of you that have been keeping up, I've made literally hundreds of the Glock dry practice kits. I sent a bunch of them to Fort Bragg. I'm in the middle of an order right now for going to Fort Benning. And I've got private individuals backed up all over the place here. So during this next few days, I'm going to be struggling to try to get these dry practice kits caught up for some of these people that's been waiting for a long time. So don't forget the Arms Expo coming up in Yakima, Washington. That will be on the 17th, 18th, and 19th of June up in Yakima. I don't know if it's the same place as last year, but it's up in pretty close same area. And let's see, the following weekend, 24th, 25th, and 26th, will be a three-day personal defense handgun put on by yours truly. We have people already starting to sign up for that, so if you want to get in on that one, we'll you need to get in there pretty quick. And if you get in on the website, go to southwestshootingauthority.com and go to the online store over on the left and find the Yakima class. And there's a code you can put in, a coupon code you can put in, and get, I think it's $100 off that class. $100 to $150 left to go look. So, dogs are going nuts. I'm going to go out and kill a coyote. All right, got to get out of here. I will see you guys tomorrow night. Thanks for joining me. I really do appreciate it.
This has been The Shooting Bench with Cope Reynolds of Southwest Shooting Authority.